Okay, we'll continue on in Galatians. And Paul's been speaking to us of the fruit of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, just like salvation is a gift. It's nothing you can work for. It's nothing that you can accomplish, unlike these false teachers that had come into the people there in Galatia and begun to tell them all these other things they must needs do in order to be saved. God saves His people through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He sets them free. He gives them liberty. But genuine liberty, Christian liberty, is not liberty to give in to the lusts of the flesh. And Paul warned against that. And then he went on to speak, is what we've been looking at for a while now, the fruit of the Spirit. Someplace in scriptures we read of the gifts of the Spirit. They're from God. They're not something we can work up in ourselves. They're a wonderful gift of God. And we looked at, thus far, love and joy. We've been looking at peace for a few weeks now. And so we spoke of that peace that God gives His people. And all these things that Paul speaks of here is the fruit of the Spirit work together that we might describe as the general well-being of His people. And again, it's not a work we do. It's not psychology. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that grows and brings forth that peace that His people know. The peace we looked at, the peace that first of all is by God. It's made by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to genuine peace. The atonement of our Savior, our redemption, our justification before Him. We have been speaking of the peace with God, which is our being reconciled unto Him. You know, we were at war. We were enemies. And God reconciled us unto Himself. God doesn't change. He doesn't reconcile to somebody. We're reconciled unto Him by His grace, by the work of the Spirit. One verse we looked at in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then we want to speak also the peace by God, the peace with God, and the peace from God. The peace from God, which speaks primarily of that peace we experience. We as His children, that thing He works within us, that we can rest in the midst of sometimes turmoil and tribulation. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." The word perfect speaks of something that's complete. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That trust is a gift of God. It's the faith of Christ. We sang that hymn, the old hymn, "Trust and Obey." We're given that by the Spirit. I don't ask, don't work, beg people to work that up in themselves. Saw someone again this week was raising the question, is, you know, why do Arminians pray that God would save somebody when they believe that have to make the choice, that it's up to them? Well, God doesn't. And we trust in Him, and we receive peace from that as a gift. He keeps us in perfect peace, said the old prophet Isaiah. our Savior during his earthly ministry. We read in John 6 and verse 33, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." It's to be peace for his people. Oh, there's more to that verse. The Lord says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." I say some folks like to call me a hard shell. Well, I don't even know what that means sometimes. It's a different definition in everybody's book. But I'll tell you what, I am a hard shell. Those shells of Scripture are hard. Not always in the sense that they're difficult, but in the sense that they're established and firm and true. My Savior said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." We pray for the brethren. We pray for the world circumstances and situation. He said, "You know what? You're gonna experience tribulation in the world, but you're going to have peace in me." Lord says, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world." Our Savior's in charge of all those things. He's overcome the world. The victory's been won. And we can rest in that. That peace that comes from God to the child of God. John 14. Lord again speaking to his disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." There can't be any better. "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." Oh, the world promises a peace. You know, Scripture says in the end time, they'll say, "Peace, peace, there'll be no peace." Our government tells us about how we're going to be protected. We're going to be safe. I haven't seen that happening, but that's what they tell you. You're going to be at peace. But the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." You know, we don't have to fret and stew and wring our hands. And I understand things look to be a mess sometimes. But our Lord's in control. Our Lord's in charge. He says, "I give you peace, not as the world giveth." There's no peace in the world. We read of, particularly in these times in which we live, and we look at folks about us that wringing their hands, and some of the things going on, you know, seems very applicable to the verse we read there when the Lord spoke of the coming end times. And Luke 21, and I'll start in verse 25. The Lord said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." The Lord says to his disciples, "Fear not." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He tells us that men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. "For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Yeah, there are troubled times, but it's a sign that the Lord's coming. "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." In Numbers, we read verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And peace is a gift of God. It's not something we can manufacture in ourselves. It's not something we can find in a bottle, whether it be a prescription bottle or an alcoholic bottle. We can't find it there. The Lord gives thee peace. The psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, that word offense, you know, means a little bit more than maybe it does in our day and age. You know, it speaks of being afraid or frightened or scared. But it can apply to offense as well. Everybody's offended at everything today, isn't it? Aren't they? I don't have to be offended. I may not like some things, but I know who's in charge. I know who's in control. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. It's just like water off a duck's back. You know, there's nothing they can do to me. They can do their worst, and they just send me home. Send me to my Heavenly Father. As Sam sang about upon the gallows. When shall I see my heavenly home? When shall I see my Father's face? This peace that comes from God, that's for His people, beyond understanding, beyond expression, beyond anything the world can comprehend. And I rest. I understand, you know, we get in the flesh sometimes, and I'm not saying if you're ever troubled, you're not a Christian. That's not true. But we have that to fall back upon. We have that truth that we know, that gives us assurance, that gives us rest. And from that, before we move on to the other things that Paul speaks here, we've got peace by God, peace with God, peace from God. And really related to those three, and flowing from those three, comes a peace with others. You know, it says we're not offended. We don't have to get all wroth. It's a peace that flows from above. You know, I look at my enemies, and they're but for the grace of God, go I. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, oftentimes, you know, in this life, that folks can see there's something different. They may not embrace it, but they can see it. And we're told to, as much as we can, to live at peace with others, with one another certainly, but even with the outside world. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Speaking to the saints in Corinth, how they ought to deal with one another. Some of the greatest wars seem to be fought in churches sometimes. I remember one preacher said, we don't have a choir or choir loft. But I've heard preachers say when Satan fell from heaven, God threw him out and he fell in the choir loft. And, you know, sometimes if you've ever seen what goes on in the politics and the doings there, you think that maybe that's not so far from wrong. But at peace. And then in Hebrews, we're told, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We ought to seek to be at peace with others. And tie this as you will, there's much in the scripture, I think, that holds to I don't know what you want to call it, but the philosophy of, you know, non-aggression. Living at peace, let others be. Paul in Romans says in Romans 12, verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. And the thing is, I'm more convinced of this than I ever was. I think it's gotten worse in my lifetime. Maybe I'm wrong. But you can call them what you will, but I don't see how we can ever come to live in peace with those who call themselves progressives and leftists and communists and socialists. They simply will not allow it. So, well, you're being prejudiced and narrowed. I think I'm just being honest. Paul says, if it be possible. But these people, historically identified as well, perhaps, as Yankees, not speaking just to the place of birth, they simply won't allow it. These people will not rest until you're conformed to the image, not of Christ, but of themselves. They'll not leave you be until you are them. And Paul tells us as much as be possible to live at peace with all men. But he does use that phraseology carefully and under the inspiration of the Spirit. Our Lord, thankfully, is the Prince of Peace. The world's getting all up about a coming holiday. Few of them even mention Christ anymore, and when they do, it's not the Christ of the Scriptures. But Isaiah the prophet spoke of his coming. We glory in his coming. We glory in the incarnation. Folks say, well, you don't celebrate Christmas. You don't believe in the birth of Christ. They don't get it. I can't make them get it. But the prophet Isaiah told us this in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the Jesus that loves me. Can I? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Our Lord is the Prince of Peace. He gives peace to his people. He is God. He is God Jehovah. He loved me. And he died for me. How can we not have peace in that? As we think upon this peace, we realize that, again, peace does not mean that there'll be an absence of conflict. That everybody in the world's going to love us and want to grab our hands and sing Kumbaya. There will be conflict. Here's what the Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. Peace to you. Peace within. But come not to think that I've... Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set at variance, to set a man at variance with his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. People who reject Christ are going to reject you. It doesn't matter how much blood you share. And again, you can call these people whatever you want to, but they'll not be at rest until they've made you them, or they've made you gone. And increasingly, I think we can see that coming. Well, as we wrap up talking about peace, I just close with this benediction. I may have referenced it earlier as well, but in Numbers 6, verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord be pleased to give us peace. And he said he would. And by his grace, may we live in accordance with that. May we live like that. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 86, At the Cross. And it's all by that peace that was wrought by God at the cross. Number 86. You can stand as we sing out this closing hymn.
And the burden of my heart rose.
Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign God that you are. And Lord, incomprehensible to us as we just sang, our sovereign died for us. Father, we can't understand such love, but you've made us the recipients of it. And Lord, with that, you've given your people peace. Lord, as we live in a world in which men's hearts seem to be failing them for fear, let us rest, knowing that you give us peace. Even as in the world we face tribulation. Father, thank you for that peace you give your people. A gift of which we're certainly undeserving. Father, help us to live lives that show forth whose we are. Show forth what you've wrought in your people. Lord, thank you again for this day, the privilege to gather, for bringing us all together again. Lord, for your preserved word. Again, Lord, as we leave here, use us each this week to your honor, to your glory. As you allow us to enter into those things that you've determined to accomplish. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.